Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Irate, tireless minority titled The Importance of Weeding, because the garden is beginning to grow a lot thanks to the recent heat. Thankfully today the Lord is watering my garden for me so I don't have to, because every time I go out there I see something else that needs doing. And that's the thing about a garden: if you actually want to get fruit out of it, you have to maintain it. With that, we're going to move right into politics. What to say about the convention? The whole election cycle has just been unreal. Mr. Cruz, still beloved by his followers in some sort of personality cult, is ineligible. So apparently the Democrats are not the only ones stupid enough to really fall in love with a candidate who's ineligible, as Mr. Obama was. But then perhaps those Republicans or conservatives who are still in love with Mr. Cruz can be forgiven for thinking that their ineligible candidate can take the office, because the Democrats' ineligible candidate did twice. It's amazing to me. And out of all the other possibilities, who do we have? We have Mr. Trump, who is certainly an outsider, I'll give him that, but the man's learning curve is going to have to be steep, and I don't know if he's up to it, businessman that he is. I'm just not seeing it. And then we have the DNC this week. The DNC, where the DNC chair is forced to step down because WikiLeaks exposed the fact that the media and the DNC conspired to favor Ms. Clinton, Ms. Rodham Clinton. Really. Let's see, Democrats. This is what you're asking us to believe. You've got a woman who had, according to the WikiLeaks, both the Democratic National Committee and the media working hard to promote her over Mr. Sanders, call things what they are. He's a socialist. He's a communist. He wants the country to become a communist country, and so do his many, many supporters. I find that astonishing and a little bit scary. But in any case, they conspired to promote her above Mr. Sanders. This is a woman who, at the beginning of her campaign, had campaign stops where there were so few people in attendance that I was listening to some talk show or other. There was a conservative calling in to say, "I feel sorry for her. I might attend just because I feel sorry for her, because there's nobody here." The woman couldn't draw a crowd. The woman couldn't draw a group. She is further burdened with not only the Benghazi scandal and Emailgate, but Whitewater, and her continual support of a husband whose sexual peccadilloes amount to sexual assault in many cases. This is the woman that they conspire to support over the communist. Okay, I grant you, criminal over communist, which would you rather have? But see, that's not really the choice, because Ms. Hillary is also a communist in her heart of hearts, because she knows that the really big money for the elite is when you have a communist country. Then you can really lord it over the peons, you know, the little people who she finally realized as First Lady were real people too, garbage men and waitresses. I remember her saying that, I talked to a waitress and I finally realized, and I suddenly realized that waitresses are people too. This while she's First Lady. It took her to get to First Lady. What did she think of the little people when she was the wife of the governor of Arkansas? You just have to wonder. This is the woman that they are promoting to become the president of the United States. Really, Democrats? Really? This is what you can find in your party. And we're supposed to believe that she received the nomination through acclamation. Yeah. Hello, Bigfoot. Thanks for joining me. He says, choosing between Hillary and Bernie is like choosing between syphilis and gonorrhea. But really, we're supposed to believe that she received the nomination through acclamation. That means through cheering, cheers of enthusiasm. You know what that means? That's weasel for saying we didn't want to let the delegates vote. Do you think of that? Oh, she's got acclamation. We don't need to vote. The delegates didn't actually vote. People just yelled. And from what I'm hearing, because I'm not watching the DNC thing, but from what I'm hearing from other pundits out there, there was booing. That's not acclamation. That's booing. I don't see how they can possibly run her. I just don't see it. And then we have Mr. Trump, who still seems, quite frankly, a bit buffoonish and like he flows with the wind. Whatever the media tells him to say, whatever his media analysts tell him to say, and I bet he can hire good media analysts. That's what he says. It makes himself look good. Personally, I think that this is all just a setup. I feel like we're all penned into this little place, and a chute's going to open. There'll be a savior, and everybody can run through, just like they do with cows in the slaughterhouse. Put them all in one big pen so that they're restive because they're squished together. Then you open up a chute, and they run through to get out of that situation, right into the slaughterhouse. I think that this is all a big trap, and that we're going to have Mr. Biden, because they'll slip him in at the last minute now that they've got Bernie's endorsement. Yeah, people are wondering about that. I'm not wondering about that. It's called incremental advancement. You get one small step towards your goal of communism. He endorses her because keeping the Democrats in power is the incremental step towards communism in America, which is the end game, which some of our young people are too stupid to understand is a bad thing. Oh, boy. In fact, we've even got a lawsuit being filed against the Democratic National Committee. Isn't this fun? Bernie supporters filed a class action lawsuit in the federal court in Miami in late June, alleging fraud and negligent misrepresentation. It claims negligence related to allegations of a data breach by Russian hackers, because they're saying that the DNC was biased in favor of one candidate, Hillary Clinton, from the beginning and throughout the process. Their complaint, which seeks class action status, because that's where the big money is, in spite of the DNC's governing charter and its multiple public statements, the DNC devoted its resources to propelling Clinton's candidacy ahead of all her rivals, even if this meant working directly against the interests of Democratic Party members, including Bernie Sanders supporters. Basically, they are mad because they gave a lot of money to Bernie on the idea that their party was non-biased towards any of the candidates. Right. The party that booed God. Do you people understand that if you don't have God to answer to, that if you don't believe in God, that if you're an atheist, that there's no reason for you not to lie, cheat, and steal, especially among a population that is mostly approving of honesty? Because that serves you. Lawyers representing the DNC and Ms. Schultz, because she was specifically named before her resignation and instant rehiring by the Hillary Clinton campaign, have sought to dismiss the lawsuit for procedural reasons. In court papers filed Friday, they stated that the complaint was never properly served on the defendants. They also said the plaintiffs have failed to identify any discernible legal theory pursuant to which their allegations, even if proven, would be actionable. And so they're saying there's no law against us being biased, so what's your beef? Oh my gosh, that's going to be interesting. Not real interesting, but interesting. So where do we go from here? Where do we go? Well, let's go right on to religion. And today I have a reading from the Bible for the Religion of Pieces, because I'm tired of just talking about what they do in their horrific, barbaric death cult. So I am going to show them that they need to study the Bible in order to, you know, if any of them happen to be listening to my show, in order to find the true path to the true God. And this is a reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is a letter from Paul to the church at Thessaly or Thessalonica or something like that. And there have been people telling them that Christ already came, the people there, that Christ already came again, and they missed it, and now they're, I don't know, in some sort of purgatory or hell or something. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," do you hear that, Muslims? Because the entity claiming to be your God prides itself on being the greatest of all deceivers. "For that day," and his prophet Muhammad is a man, so "let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." Now this is in the Bible, and the true God is the one called God here. Jesus Christ is called God in this second, in the New Testament. "Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth," now in King James English, letteth means to hinder, to prevent, not to let something go ahead. It means to hinder. "Letteth. Only he who now letteth will let, he who now hinders will hinder, until he be taken out of the way." So there's something in the world preventing the man of perdition, preventing this liar, this deceiver, from having sway. "And then shall that wicked," okay, that's not the God of the Bible that's wicked. Think about who that is, Muslims. "That wicked, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." That's you guys. "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." You have not received the love of the truth. You have received, O Muslims, a love of tradition and honor. You need to abandon that for a love of the truth. Because you know what happens? If you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved, we go into verse 11. "And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Who's having pleasure in unrighteousness right now? Gee, could it possibly be Muslims who are using their religion as an excuse to persecute and rape and pillage? That's unrighteousness. People who use their religion as an excuse to do whatever they like because all they have to do is engage in jihad and get killed during it to be saved in that horrible barbaric death cult, that's taking pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I hope that if there were any Muslims listening, they understand what that was saying to them. Now I'm going to talk about my garden. Because I have a fairly large garden in the summer, and I'm getting older and things hurt, and it's harder. So I may have to restrict myself to a smaller one next year. But in order to maintain a garden, one must water and weed and plant and feed. Not in that order. Usually you're weeding every day all summer. Every day I am out to the garden. If it needs water, I'm watering it. If it needs feed, I'm top dressing it or putting on compost tea. If it needs weeding, I am out there with my hoe. And if you don't do that, and I can tell this, I know this from experience and just common sense, then you get weeds. You get huge, huge, huge weeds. And I saw this, and I was thinking about it, because one of my fellow gardeners needed a hand with her plot. She was having some trouble at home and couldn't get out to it, and her plot just became overgrown with weeds. Overgrown. Thistles as tall as me. And the plants that she planted, the ones she wanted, were small and yellow because the weeds were sucking all the nutrients out of the soil away from her plants. And I helped weed that and pulled the thistles out and pulled out some of the weeds and stuff, and the plants started to thrive again. And she was very thankful, and that was very nice. But I thought about it, and I thought, you know, it is so much easier in my garden, in any garden, to take those weeds out when they're small and to scan for them and to scan for every little sign of them and to just chop them off when they're tiny. And sometimes you feel sorry for them because, oh, that's kind of a pretty weed when it's grown, I know. Or I don't know what this is. Maybe I'll let it grow and see what it is. But the thing is that if you want the things you planted to grow, then you need to remove the weeds. They need to be removed. And that's the same with the country. This country requires a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate to the governing of any other. That's what the Constitution is for. It was written for. It was designed for a moral and religious people. And that means that if you want the Constitution to work, if you want the country to work, you have to weed out competing ideologies. You have to say, okay, you can look at that and say it's a nice thing, but if you want that weed to grow, you need to take it out of the garden and grow it someplace else. If you want that weed of communism and socialism to grow, if you like that one, then you need to take that one out of our garden and go put it in that other garden over there that's specifically for weeds. There are socialist countries. If you don't like it here, move. Look, it's a thistle. That's Islam. Okay, they have flowers and seeds that the birds like, but those are nasty, nasty weeds. They will poke you and irritate your skin and make it hard to do anything anywhere because you can't get around them. Take them out and put them someplace else. I put them on the compost pile. And I don't even like doing that because that means all those little stickers are going to be in the compost pile, in the compost later. You want to live under Sharia? Move to a Sharia country. We need to remove those things that are harmful to what we've planted. Because if we want what we've planted to grow and to grow well, we need to keep the weeds out. That's just basic common sense. And when you can see it that way, put them someplace else or get rid of them altogether, as far as in this country goes, then you're halfway there. Then you can move on to what ranchers have to deal with, and that's culling the herd in ranching. And that means that you don't give heed to people who are preaching communism or Islam or saying that the plants you've planted in the garden are all awful because they're GMO. Well, mine are all heirloom seeds, but you know what I'm saying? Now, I have had somebody listening on the line forever, and we've got 8 minutes left on air, and I see the little question mark next to them, so I'm going to bring them on and see if they want to stay just listening or if they had something to say. Hello, caller. Hello, are you there?
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Thomas. I thought it might be you. How are you today?
I am good. I just got a comment that I wanted to point out. It's kind of ironic how the left in their convention, they're celebrating wholeheartedly abortion and going all in on abortion, but yet all the candidates on our side, when they ran for office, they were told, don't talk about the abortion issue. Don't bring it up because it's a no-win situation for us. So how is it that – sorry, you hear New York City in the background. How is it that is even possible? We're told that if we stand for life, that the Democrats oppose us, but yet they're celebrating a culture of death. Palestinian and Russian communist flags and not one single American flag to be found at their stinking convention. I'll listen on mute.
Yeah, Thomas, I don't know. That's who I'm talking about for weeds. If you want to live in a communist country, go live in one. I'm serious. Somebody needs to start a fund. Let's call it the True Home Fund. And people can donate to it. And then when they come across people who say, well, the United States is awful and we need to have a communist or socialist society like Sweden or Norway or something like that, say, you know what? If you truly believe that, here's a deal for you. We will pay your moving expenses, and all you have to do to get that money to move yourself to a socialist nation like Sweden or Norway, same thing for Islam. You want to move to, you want Sharia is better? Because I've seen people interviewed in Minneapolis, in the United States, saying that Sharia is better. They'd rather live in a Sharia law nation. If you truly believe that, you want to go live in one of those nations, we will pay your way. And here's the deal. You need to pledge that you are never returned to this nation and that you will renounce your citizenship.
Amen.
You know, because if you don't want to be here, if you don't want to be part of this garden, then get out. You don't get to come in here and suck all the good dirt and all the fertilizer and stuff up and kill the plants that we've planted. At least that's my opinion. Get out. Go grow someplace where you're welcome. Go grow someplace where they adhere to what you like. The thing is, they want to be here because they know that here they can say those things. Here they can speak against the government and get away with it.
Right.
And here they can use our own constitution against us. You know, I was watching a video a while back, Oz Guinness, and he was talking about the constitution and freedom, and he said the greatest enemy of freedom is freedom. It's like putting a democracy in an Islamic country. If you put in a democracy, the people are required by their faith to vote for Sharia. The greatest danger
right.
of freedom is freedom. And if you're going to use your freedom to change, to fundamentally transform America, then you need to get out. You need to be weeded.
Right. Right.
As for the abortion thing, you know, the thing, let's not even talk about the DNC. They've abandoned God. God has abandoned them, no doubt. And let's talk about the RNC. I am reading that they closed with a Muslim prayer.
Right.
Really? Closed with a Muslim prayer? Do you understand Islam? Do you get what you're praying to there? I'm flabbergasted. You closed with a Muslim prayer. So where is God in this? And not only that, but I have heard that Mr. Trump himself or one of the delegates or something said, oh, to the LGBTQ community, I've got your back. Really? The people who really have your back are those telling you not to engage in that behavior because it's dangerous for you. Dangerous
right.
for you. It's also dangerous for the rest of us because of the wide-reaching implications and puddles of it. You can't have somebody take on that lifestyle and there not be any consequences. There are consequences. Because if you die young and you're my best friend, then I have to go through old age with nobody as a best friend. You know, or I have to make another one who's not going to be as solid as someone who I spent years being best friends with. That affects the world.
Right.
And so if God is not welcome in the RNC, because they're praying to the Muslim God, and if God is not
right.
welcome in the DNC, then who are we to vote for?
I know who I'm not voting for.
Yes, I do too. But my problem is still who to vote for. And there are people who are saying, we're going to vote for Cruz still. We're going to write him in. We're going to... Well, you know, if you want to write somebody in, pick somebody good. Get out there, do a little research. Find some businessman. Find some person who you think would be a good president. You know, president should be the easiest job in the world, except for the military part and the part where every law you sign into, every bill you sign into law and every bill you don't sign into law is going to cost somebody their life, every single one.
Right.
And that's a heavy responsibility. And the
right.
responsibility of war and maintaining the military and maintaining the nation's borders, those are heavy responsibilities. But aside from that, it should be the easiest job in the world. You are the face of America to the world. You get to say,
right.
hey, you know what? We could fix that because we have this wonderful thing called liberty, and that's how we roll. But they make it into this. They're making it into a kingdom, and we can't have that. We simply cannot be having that, because a kingdom is not a kingdom. There's no such thing as a monarchy. It's always an oligarchy. There's always people behind the king, behind the scenes, moving things around. And if the king behaves badly, they remove him. Well, I've got my, let's see, I've had my 90-second warning, so I'm going to say thanks for calling in. Sensworth. Thank you, Bigfoot, for being in the chat room. I wish, and I know Kel at Red Fox Radio is taking a break for a few months, and I wish her all the best. And if you still need your Islam fix, the folks at Radio Jihad Network are still doing their thing. So tune into some of their shows, too. And with
all
that,
right, Mom.
We are good to see you, Thomas. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. And yeah, Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives really matter, stop aborting your babies.
Amen.
Because what else can you say to that? New York City, half of them aborted. That's appalling.
Right.
I can't even imagine. But all right, I'm going to end on that note. And thank you all. Go out there, find your spot to make a difference, and do it. Give blood or something. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.